Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
Good to be back with you.
Good to be back here 1 week after Resurrection Day / Easter.
Yes.
So I hope you've all had an awesome week just thinking about the resurrection.
Now, so since this is next Sunday, we're still celebrating the resurrection on Sunday?
Sure. We are.
Amen, brother.
That's right. We call
Hallelujah.
It the, we call it the Lord's Day.
Amen.
I like the Sabbath, too. I celebrate both days.
Oh.
Yeah. Why not? We should celebrate every day.
Exactly.
Yeah. Even though you don't feel like celebrating every day. And some days you don't feel like even being happy for a minute.
You know, but sometimes that those Paul Wilbur songs, I mean, they just tucker you out. Because you got your banners, you got your dancing, and it's like, ooh,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, boy, all
it's
day
a,
long.
It's a good cardiovascular workout.
All day long at work.
I know.
Anyway, so since we had Resurrection Day last week, and
the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the
fruits.
Dead, the first fruits from the dead, yes.
Yeah, we haven't risen yet, but who knows when that's going to be. But so the church comes into existence, as we like to call it, kind of a big messianic congregation at first. And the book of Acts is a great such a great book. It's actually my favorite book after Romans and Hebrews and Song of Songs. And I really like Acts. I really like Deuteronomy, too.
What about Numbers? Numbers is awesome. My favorite book.
Numbers is awesome. Yeah.
Okay. All 77 or 66.
I like Moses. Yeah.
Moses is good.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, you better hope you like Moses.
I like Paul, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Aaron?
Yeah, my wife and I were watching a secular show once about Paul preaching, and the guy made the statement that Paul would go into a town and get everybody aggravated, then he'd leave. And she said, "Who's that remind you of?" That's me. Anyway.
Say it's not so.
Yeah. Well, you got to have some fire and enthusiasm when you're spreading the word and preaching the kingdom. That gets people more interested. But anyway, we had a bunch of interested people here in Acts chapter 2. And this probably would go along with, we could have probably done this show the week after Pentecost. But anyway, Stephen, why don't you read Acts 2:42 to 47?
Okay. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their property and possessions, and divide them among all according to each one's need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area, and to breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
Mm. That sounds so neat. I love this. This is like, you know, you ever hear people say, I wish we had an Acts chapter 2 church again. I say that too sometimes because this is kind of, this is the very earliest group. You know, this is what, you know, some writers call the primitive church, not primitive, you know, meaning
prehistoric,
yeah. But primitive in the sense that it was the very beginning. It was the earliest group of believers. They were on fire. They had, many of them had experienced Jesus personally, had experienced his death, had experienced his resurrection. They had seen him after he had risen. Many of these same people had experienced the Holy Spirit falling on Pentecost. So they were an on fire group. And, you know, they had, a lot of them had, you know, been with Jesus for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, kind of the apostolic formation, You know, the ancient creeds say the church is apostolic.
Right.
Because the apostles are the basis. Even in the book of Revelation, it says the apostles are the foundation.
Exactly.
And so, you know, the apostolic teaching, the apostolic foundation starts here. And these people have an intense kind of a fellowship. I mean, you get this by, you know, reading those few verses you just read. I mean, they're together. They share everything. They even share their property. You know, they sell things they have. They have everything in common. Mm-hmm. They have this, you know, we don't have that much in the church anymore. Very few people will say, hey, that's okay. I'll sell my house and I'll just put the money in the treasury and, you know, we'll just all do stuff with it.
Yeah, we'll live in a commune.
Ooh.
Not that the church doesn't have any of that. I mean, not in this way, but you see where there is, you know, food pantries, yeah. There's soup kitchens. There's a lot of ministry that both, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, any evangelical church, they all have ministries that reach out into the community mm-hmm. that try to help those who are in need. They might not all be believers that mm-hmm. they're helping,
sure.
but that's still helping someone who might not know the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we're commanded to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so it would be really fabulous to have an Acts chapter 2 church.
Mm-hmm. That'd
I mean,
be fun.
You know, it's just incredible what they're describing here. Because we really don't have it to that degree.
Yeah.
We don't.
Yeah. Stephen and I have talked many times about starting a messianic kibbutz in Galilee or a messianic commune in Jacksonville, Florida. We'll get to that later.
Yeah. We keep getting the brakes put on.
Yeah. So here you had, this was a group that was eager to preach. Mm-hmm. You know, the apostles, the people who had really experienced this, they were eager to preach. And the people that were listening to them, they were eager to learn everything that the apostles said. You know, it says that they continued in the apostles' doctrines, in their teachings. They wanted mm-hmm. instruction.
Yes.
You know, they wanted the fellowship. I don't know about you, but when I go to a church where people say, wow, I'm really looking forward to this. This is going to be an awesome prayer group. And this speaker who's coming, you know, whoever this guy is from Gift of Grace Ministries, I'm really excited to hear him.
They say that?
Yeah, well,
oh, wow.
Not usually. But, you know, when I love that kind of atmosphere compared to, well, Sunday morning, I guess I got to be here anyway, so.
Are we almost done?
Yeah, are we almost done? How long is this guy going to talk?
Goodness gracious. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know who you are. But anyway, the people that the apostles encountered, they knew there was something different about these guys.
Well, you know, the first sentence, I think, is so critical.
Mm-hmm.
They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles.
Yeah.
They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. So there's four things.
Yes, exactly.
Teaching,
mm-hmm.
community,
mm-hmm.
the Lord's Supper,
mm-hmm.
prayer.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Four pillars of faith.
Yes, that's right.
You need,
and they're awesome pillars.
You know, a table has four legs
mm-hmm.
for a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
You cut one of them off, it's going to tip over.
Yeah, that's right.
So those four pillars, those four legs, if you will, are important to any community.
Yeah.
Vitally important to any
that's
community.
Right.
And to say that they devoted themselves to those things,
mm-hmm.
you know, what does it mean to be devoted to it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did they give, gosh, you know, there's 24 hours a day, so... I can do this for a minute, you know, and then I got it back to my.
I got to put my 57 minutes in.
You know, they devoted themselves to this.
Yeah.
This was the center of their life, and nothing was more important.
That's exactly right.
And as you said, they saw Jesus. They walked with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They saw him crucified. They
mm-hmm.
saw him rise. They saw him risen from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And they believed.
Yeah.
With fullness of heart.
Yeah.
And this is even before. So they are living the communal life as Christ intended.
That's right.
Yeah. One body, one fold, one shepherd.
Yeah. And they had the fire of the Spirit. They had this zeal. And, you know, like we were saying, the apostles are the foundation. You know, the Revelation 21:14 says that. But now, can you imagine that these apostles, I mean, what they had, they were teaching in the temple during the day. And then they had home groups. There was a whole bunch of, you know, what, you know, in our time we might call house churches. Mm-hmm. We might call, you know, home groups, faith sharing groups. Now, can you imagine one of the apostles would come to your home group? I mean, one of the apostles who had been with Jesus for 3 years had been baptized in the Spirit on Pentecost morning. So, you know, Peter or Andrew or James, you know, one of those guys would come to your home group and would pray, would have the Lord's Supper, would have fellowship with the group. I mean, how awesome would that have been? Mm. Like, you would have wanted to just, you know, you would have been like the guys on the road to Emmaus and said, man, I hope this doesn't end, you know. Hey, Andrew, tell us some more stuff that you learned, you know, from Jesus, because we want to hear everything. And this is how it says people were added to the body that were being saved, because people would hear this and they would get excited and they'd want to hear more. And they were the foundation, and people were being built up in the faith. And, you know, John, the youngest apostle, who, you know, wrote actually quite a bit of the New Testament, of course, in one of his epistles. You know, John, of course, has a gospel and three epistles.
Right.
Yeah. And so everybody out there, listen, you got to know what's in the Bible. John has a gospel and three epistles. So,
right.
You know, most, you know, when you say, you know, one John, people say, you know, what are you talking about? Is it John first chapter? So John's first letter, the first epistle in chapter 1:1-3, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested in us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So John's saying, we were with him, you know, and he uses the same imagery he uses in the first chapter of his gospel, where he says, the Word, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now he's saying, we looked upon him, we heard him, we touched him. That which was from the beginning, we have firsthand experience with in all our senses, sight, touch, hearing. We have all this experience with you, and we want to declare that to you because we heard and saw these things, and we want you to know this so that you can have fellowship with us, and we all have fellowship with the Father through the Son. I mean, this blows me away, that First John thing. I mean, they had firsthand experience. We have not had firsthand experience. You know, we can imagine what it would be like to walk with Jesus, listen to him talk, and ask him a couple of questions and say, well, I don't really get what he's talking about, but okay. Right. I mean, these guys had had the experience for 3 years. And when they related that to these guys in the home groups, these guys in the home groups got like just on fire.
Yeah.
They just wanted to hear more.
And, you know, what you're starting to see is the unfolding of the development of doctrines, the development of the creed.
Exactly.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
Yes.
I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son.
Yes.
And what you're starting to see is that understanding of who God is, who Jesus is, and who the Holy Spirit is.
Yes.
As it's revealed to man and women at, you know, through this course of history. So they are the first. The apostles are the first to proclaim this because they are entrusted with the knowledge and the wisdom that God has given to them. They are entrusted to now share it.
Yes.
And spread.
Yes.
This good news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just as we are.
Yeah.
And if we don't know anything about our faith,
mm-hmm.
how can I share anything?
Exactly.
If I know nothing about a subject matter and I try to talk about it, I'm going to be looked at as a fool.
Exactly.
So if, unless I'm talking to people that know less than I do, but we hope that we're not encountering that. In our faith, in our walk with Jesus Christ, we have to encounter him.
Mm-hmm.
We have to encounter the risen Lord.
Amen.
That our life is radically transformed.
Mm-hmm.
That we die to self.
Yeah.
That we're baptized into Christ, into his death, and rise with him to new life.
Yeah. And if you've experienced that, you know exactly what Stephen's talking about,
mm-hmm.
and you can probably remember exactly what happened to you at the moment you realize that.
Yeah.
I know I can. I know Stephen can. And this is why I love hearing people's testimonies. But when these people heard Peter and John and the others teaching at the temple, now can you imagine they were teaching at the temple? You know, they probably gathered around and they said, wow, you know, these guys were with him. I mean, we don't know about, the Pharisees didn't like it. They kept bringing him in and questioning him and telling him not to speak in that name anymore. But, Peter and John had amazing testimonies because they got called personally by Jesus to follow him. They spent all that time with him. And when they taught, the people who were listening to him got firsthand information. And not only because they had spent this physical time with Jesus walking around the Galilee and walking around Jerusalem, but they had also experienced the Holy Spirit falling on Pentecost. And then in their minds, this had all been put together. This whole plan of salvation that they started to think all the years that they went to synagogue on the Shabbat and heard the Torah reading and heard the Haftorah reading from the prophets. Now, all of a sudden, this got all connected for them. And this is what they're teaching. And if you remember on Pentecost morning, Peter says to those guys, get away from this perverse generation. get away from these people because this is bad news. There's going to be judgment coming here, not too long a distance. But they had kind of withdrawn from that perverse generation and they had fellowships with each other. As you said, they were always together.
Amen.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And they listened to Paul Wilbur music most of the time.
Most of the time. Right.
Sometimes the others. Remember, check out GiftOfGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Let God rise.
Rise the rise.
Oh, yeah. name, Yahweh. Let's rejoice before Him.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So this sounds like it would have been a really fun church. I mean, these guys have some awesome home groups.
So they're in there, they're being attentive to the Word, to the breaking of the bread, the prayers, and they're listening to Paul Wilbur music all day.
Right.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
Right.
And
scratch that last part.
I mean, they asked the musicians, do you guys know minor chords? They said, I don't know what you're talking about. Because there were no guitars yet.
There was lutes.
Did David play minor chords on his lute and
on his harp? Most likely.
Yeah, whatever those are. But anyway, so these guys, they were always found together. I mean, I think, the believers, it sounds like the believers were pretty much in community. And they really had kind of withdrawn from this perverse generation, like Peter had warned them. And it says they met at the temple daily. You know, they didn't go on Sunday for the 57 minutes. They went every day.
They met at the temple daily?
Daily. Not just on worship days.
Not just on Christmas and Easter?
No, it was a daily activity. And just at Pentecost.
Sorry. I'll behave.
Just like at Pentecost, where it says they were praying in one accord, you can see this, kind of continuing through. There was no bickering. They weren't arguing. There wasn't strife there. They talked at the temple. They taught at the temple. They probably talked to their fellow Jews at the temple, but then they had their own fellowship in the houses. These really were home churches. And, they had the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, which of course showed you that their prayer was centered on Him. Mm-hmm. When they met in homes, it doesn't say they did the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist at the temple. It doesn't say they did that. They did it in people's homes.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of neat.
Yeah. Acts chapter 2 tells us that.
Yeah. I think it's kind of neat. So, it was centered on Christ. And this has been transmitted through the church through the whole ages. Through all the ages. And it's pretty neat. These congregations of prayer, Lord's Supper, singing the hymns, having the fellowship. That gets me pretty excited.
Yeah.
And they were thankful for everything and they were joyful all the time.
Yeah. And if we look at even chapter 1 of the Acts of the Apostles, it talks about the first community in Jerusalem. I want to get to this. The two disciples encountered Jesus on the road to Emmaus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when it came time for them to stop their day's journey, Jesus appeared as He was going to go on, and they said, no, stay with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so they share a meal. And in the breaking of the bread, Jesus says the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
In the breaking of the bread, their eyes are opened.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very interesting that after the Holy Spirit falls upon all of these disciples in the upper room, they devote themselves to this communal life.
Yeah.
And the breaking of the bread. In verse 46, it says, every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area, as you were saying, and to breaking bread in their homes. And they ate their meals with exultation and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
Yeah. So every, church was growing.
Church was growing by leaps and bounds. Wait, we just bought a building on 2nd Street. Right. Oh, we're outgrowing that. We got to get another one.
Before that, they were meeting at the high school.
We haven't made our first, we haven't made our first mortgage payment on it. Wow, we got so this, you know, this exponential growth because of the Spirit, because of their love for the Lord and each other. God poured out his, you know, God's Spirit is being poured out upon them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the whole group's being blessed and there's more people coming in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And as you said, they didn't do this in the temple area.
Yeah.
They didn't do this in the temples because the rabbis didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Yeah. They didn't believe that he did rise from the dead.
They had to deal with those Pharisees.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Pharisees were certainly not going to let you come in and do this. So, the breaking of the bread, as Jesus broke the bread on the road to Emmaus with those two disciples, is something that they're doing. The breaking of the bread that he did at the Last Supper, as he shared that meal with his, with his friends, the 12 apostles.
Mm-hmm.
They're all putting this together.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
This is what he did.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's do likewise.
And I think a lot of the apostles' teachings was like putting all these things together. I call them connections. And it doesn't tell us what the apostles said, but they probably said things like, well, remember in Exodus when this, well, this was about him. And remember in Deuteronomy when Moses said this, well, Jesus fulfilled this. And remember, you know, all these connections are made through the whole of Scripture. And there was something else going on too. It says people were amazed because there were signs and wonders. Because Peter and John and Andrew and those guys, you know, they probably prayed over a sick person who then got healed. Mm-hmm. They probably prayed for something to happen, and it happened. You know, there may have been some other signs, but, you know, it says there were signs and wonders, and people were amazed.
Mm-hmm.
And these were, and, you know, you can't overemphasize this, these were simple men who were, for the most part, uneducated. I mean, none of them had certainly been to seminary or Bible school. They hadn't been to any fancy yeshivas in Jerusalem. They were common people from Galilee, and they weren't anything like the leaders, but they had this authority, and they taught with authority, and they ministered with authority, and they had signs and wonders took place because of them. The Pharisees and the scribes, doesn't say they did any signs and wonders. They had all kind of, you know, pomp and majesty. They had all kinds of cool stuff that they wore, and they said all kinds of, you know, remember Jesus says, you know, they say really long prayers so everybody thinks they're holy, because along with having the big phylactery, they also said really long prayers.
Yeah. I've come across a couple of people like that.
Yeah. So Peter would come and touch somebody on the head and say, be healed, and they were healed. And the Pharisees would stand there and say a 15-minute prayer, and nothing would happen.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, as you're talking about the apostles putting together the teaching of what the community was going to believe, you know, what do we believe in?
Mm-hmm.
There's a document called the Didache, which is the earliest known teaching of the 12 apostles.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly it's based on Scripture. It's based on their living with Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and being in that communal life, and the 40 days that he walked the earth with them from his resurrection. So there are, you know, as we say, the teaching of the apostles. This is what they were teaching. This is what they taught the community.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that the Lord had handed on to them wasn't separate from the Bible. They didn't really have a Bible back then. It was the Torah.
You couldn't put a Bible in your pocket in those days, or keep one in your car, because you had to have all those scrolls.
You had to have some pretty big pockets to carry those scrolls. So, we think of a book that, you know, well, now you can have it on your iPhone. So
yeah, like, that's true.
I got the Bible right here on my iPhone. Paul would have been amazed. You have the Bible in that? Wow. I got these big scrolls that keep carrying around. Let me update this. Okay. Anyway. So they're devoting them, they devote themselves to learning
mm-hmm.
and being in God's presence
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at Christianity today, if you look at just churches today, do we get together on a daily basis?
Hmm.
I mean, and this in Jewish tradition, the temple was the center of their life.
Yeah.
Morning prayer, noon prayer, evening prayer, yeah. or morning prayer, day prayer, evening prayer.
That's right.
Three times a day. It was the center of their life. Everything revolved, their life revolved around the worship of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the worship of God revolves around our life,
mm-hmm.
so to speak.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because we put all these other external things in place, and then we get around to, okay, well, yeah, yes, let's see, it's time to go. We gotta go to worship. We gotta go worship. Okay.
We'll see if we feel like it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's only gonna be about 45 minutes because, you know, Pastor Bob, he doesn't talk too long.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, you know, this other guy down the street, he only talks for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go there.
It's all over in 40 minutes, so let's go over there.
Let's go there. You know, we're saying this in sincerity to anybody who's listening that if you want to have this relationship with God that is going to bear fruit, you got to spend time with Him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like
you
any relationship.
You have to spend time with Him.
Yeah.
You have to get to know Him.
Yes.
You have to encounter the resurrected Lord.
Yeah.
And so it's vitally important that you make time for God. But if you just look at our culture and our, you know, the churches today, no matter what denomination you belong to, nobody's exempt from this.
Mm-hmm. That's
nobody.
Right. It's happening everywhere.
You know, yeah, there's maybe somebody has a Bible study at their home during the week, and we go to service on Sunday. But these people met every day,
mm-hmm.
7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that today.
Oh.
And thus we see the state of our faith. We see the state of the body of Christ. We see the state of the world.
Our culture. Yeah.
Our culture. And people go, I just don't understand, you know, what's happening to our country. You know, what's happening to our world?
Yes. Every time one of these horrible crimes happen in a school or a mall or somewhere, all these people on the, you know, network newses and cable newses, they're all like, oh, how could such a thing happen? How could this possibly happen? What can we do to stop? Well, it's pretty clear why these things are happening. It's pretty clear how we can stop it.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to do that.
You know, at times we have to ask ourselves with real sincerity of heart, am I like Judas and say, well, certainly it's not I, Lord.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But I have to ask myself that question.
That's
if I'm going to be honest with myself before God, is it I? Is it me, Lord? What's my part in this? And what do I have to do to live a fuller life in you? Because Jesus said, I came in John 10:10, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, not a little, little bit here, a little bit there, abundantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when, you know, we know God gives abundantly to those who ask.
Mm-hmm.
God gives generously. And it's not just, it's not just monetary riches and those types of things, mm-hmm. but it's an abundance of love and mercy and grace to those who ask for it.
Yeah. Amen. You know? Great point. And I think as you're saying that, and I was just thinking about how these were simple working people, you know, when you really stop to think about this, it's anyone who's an ordinary person who has an ordinary job, whose heart's been transformed by meeting Jesus personally
mm-hmm.
and has been filled with the Spirit,
yeah,
can do the same thing that these guys did.
Right.
These guys were not, quote, professional theologians, and they didn't sit around, you know, writing a lot of books and saying, now what did so-and-so mean in his paper about? They preached the kingdom. They prayed with people. They did the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
They had the fellowship with people, and people were on fire for this.
They preached the truth.
Amen. And that final line is great about how there's many added that are being saved. I love that.
Yeah.
Because that's what, any simple working person, doesn't matter what your job is, any non-theologian, you know, any, quote, layman,
right,
any, you know, quote, non-clergy person can still interact with people, preach the gospel, pray with them, you know, and bring people to salvation. And that's what we should be doing.
I mean, to reach the people, you got to be with the people.
That's right.
And, you know, I'm thinking about something that I heard Pope Francis talk about, is that, you know, he's telling those that are in clergy, you got to get out there with the people. You got to be among the people. You got to smell them.
That's right.
You got to be pretty close to smell somebody.
You got to have the sheep smell on your clothes.
Yeah. And you have to be with the people. If you're going to do any type of ministry, you have to be with the people. You can't do ministry without that element.
In an ivory tower.
Yeah. You know, it's nice to have a radio show.
Yeah, know? And a website. And.
But it's just me and Phil in here. and this is important to share the word of God, that many people can hear this that might not hear it.
All four of you.
All four of you.
Oh. Wait a minute.
Thanks for listening, dear. but it's incomplete without meeting with people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a home group that we go to. We minister with people. You have to do those things in order to reach people. Yeah. And walk with them.
Yeah.
You gotta walk with people.
Yeah.
And Jesus walked with his disciples for 3 years.
Yeah.
And he walked with them 40 more days after that.
That's right. And like these people that listened to the teaching, and it says they just wanted more and more of it.
Mm-hmm.
How can you as a believer with a transformed heart say, well, I'll just go Sunday morning for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then the rest of the week, you never open your Bible. You never say a prayer.
Yeah.
You never think about, you know, if you don't think about the cross 20 times a day, you don't get what happened there.
Yeah.
And I want to be with people that think that way. I mm-hmm. want to be with people. I want to have fellowship with people that are on fire, want to learn the word, mm-hmm. want to be together, want to do. I mean, maybe we can't live in a commune. Yeah.
Right.
Of course, we have this messianic kibbutz in Galilee. No, no. But, you know, it that kind of, like you say, like I'm in some kind of Bible study or home group or prayer group, like, I don't know, 18, 20 nights out of a month because mm-hmm. I want to do it.
Right.
And I'm tired. I have migraine headaches. I never sleep. I work all the time. But when it's time for a Bible study at 7 o'clock, if I'm teaching a Bible study, if I'm running a home group or whatever it is, I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And because I want to be there.
Right.
I don't want to go home and say, well, I have a headache, so I'm going to go to sleep.
Right.
Sometimes I want to do that, but I'd rather be with the group.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have the fellowship, the teaching, the learning.
Right.
The prayer time.
Right.
And, you know, I hope many of you understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, it really is our hope that you take a hold of what's being proclaimed.
Yeah.
Because it's essential to spiritual growth and growing in the Lord.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes. And the word wasn't given by the Holy Spirit so that we can kind of yawn and say, well, I haven't really studied the Bible and I don't really feel like doing it. And I don't really know much about it. It's given to you to read, to study.
Anybody that's encountered the risen Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Those guys on the road to Emmaus, the disciples in the upper room, they all encountered the risen Lord and they all went out and proclaimed. They preached the gospel. They preached salvation in the name of Jesus. They preached forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
They shared the good news of
that's
what
right.
God was doing
right.
through his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And people were cut to the heart. They
yeah.
repented.
Yeah.
They came to believe and they were saved.
Yeah.
And that's, they bore fruit for the kingdom. And that's the parable of the talents that Jesus talks about. I gave you five, I gave you two, and I gave you one. What did you do with it?
Yeah.
Well, Lord, here's five, and here's an extra five, so here's ten. Here's two, here's four.
Yeah.
You know, Lord, I didn't know what to do with it. I was scared.
Mm-hmm. I heard you were a hard man.
And I know that I heard you're very hard. We got to be like the guy with the five talents
yeah.
and go out and proclaim
wow.
and praise the name of the Lord from the rising of the sun to the place that it goes down.
Amen. Is that on our website? GiftofGraceMinistries.org. Check that out. We'll be back in just a minute. I can't believe it's the last section already.
Who is like him, Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise. Who is like him, Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Come praise him, praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun till the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise.
Listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to the Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Wow, so we're, this is good. I mean, yeah. Here we are in Acts chapter 2, the first group of people, the earliest church. You know, they may not have even used the word church. You know, they were believers, and the number was growing, and they were listening to the apostles, and they were listening to the apostolic teaching, and they were listening to not only powerful teaching at the temple, which seemed to draw a big crowd when Peter and John spoke, but then also in the smaller groups, you know, in the home churches, the home groups. Mm-hmm. And the apostles themselves mm-hmm. were doing these teachings
yeah.
and having this fellowship.
And I think it's important, we were talking during the break, it's important to understand as a new believer, as a lifelong believer, that the teachings that are handed down to us from the apostles, from the early believers, from the church, mm-hmm. they lived out their faith in a way that they passed on this faith to us through mm-hmm. these documents.
Mm-hmm.
From the scriptures, through the teaching of the church, just like we were talking about the creed,
mm-hmm.
how the creed was developed. And sometimes in our culture today, and I think this happens in every generation, we want to kind of learn things on our own and say we're the first to, you know, think of this.
Reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. Nobody's ever had wisdom like this before, but I have it. We have to be careful not to try and dismantle the church and then try and build it back up again so that I'm the founder of it.
Mm.
Because Jesus Christ is the one who laid down his life for the for his people, for the church.
Yeah. Built on the rock.
Not me, not Phil, and not you who are listening. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave these teachings to the apostles, and they handed it on to the next generation. And what is proclaimed is truth.
Yeah.
And it's important that we, as a body of believers, study the history of church, the history of salvation. You know, the Bible in its fullness, New Testament, Old Testament, New Covenant, Old Covenant. If you don't like the word covenant, or you don't like the word new or old, the word of God. But whatever it is, study it with in the mindset to allow God to transform your heart and to teach you, and not to dismantle the teachings that are truth.
Yeah.
Because if we do that, we greatly diminish the body of Christ. And we bring into question things that have been handed on to us that are truth. You know, the creed.
Yeah.
Very powerful statement of what I believe. And if I think, well, gosh, you know, that was, you know, 1600 years ago. What did they know then? You know, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have iPads. Come on. They couldn't be that smart.
Yeah.
You know, they diminished the wisdom of God. We would diminish the wisdom of God by doing that. And in the teachings of the apostles that were given to them and handed on to them by Christ through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, through the 40 days that he walked with them, through the promptings of the Holy Spirit that came upon them at Pentecost, we diminish our whole history of what Christ did, and those who suffered and died for his name did as well.
Yeah.
You know, we're not the first to believe.
Right. Right. There was a long history.
A long history.
You know, the, just like we always say, the Bible starts in Genesis 1-1, not Matthew 1-1.
Not Galatians.
Not Galatians. No. You know, Christian history did not start in the 1500s, as a lot of people think.
Nor in the 1000s.
Christian history started here with these guys that we're talking about in the temple teaching, in the home groups teaching, breaking bread in people's homes, doing the teaching, having the fellowship.
Yeah. Yes.
Having the some kind of music, I'm sure they had.
Harps, lutes.
You know, when the worship team set up, you know, it's a little different than it is now. But, but you know, this is, you know, Paul, they warned people that as soon as they left, false teachers were going to come in. You know, the purity of the gospel, the purity of the teaching was here now.
Right.
This is why I always say, wow, I'd love to be in Acts chapter 2 church.
Yeah.
Because it was like fresh. And the purity of the gospel was there. And, you know, to put yourself in their position where they have spent their whole lives up to this point doing the law, and now they understood that Messiah came, the new covenant was here because of his blood, the resurrection had taken place, he rose, first fruits, we're going to rise, you know, we're saved by this. This is really exciting. This is the pure gospel.
Right.
And it didn't take long for false teachers to come in, whether they were Judaizers or Gnostics or whatever they were. And in our time, late 20th century or 21st century that we're in thus far, I mean, all you got to do is turn on Christian TV and see prominent people with very popular TV shows that are teaching all kind of different doctrine than Peter and John and James and Andrew, and those guys would have been teaching at the temple and in those home groups.
That's very true.
And we have to be very careful.
And we have to understand, we share in the anointing that came upon Christ in the Jordan.
Amen.
If we have been baptized into Christ's death and we are risen to life in his resurrection, we share in that same anointing that came upon Jesus in the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's many things in the new covenant ratified in the blood of Jesus Christ that point to the new covenant. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit." Those are Jesus' words. That's his command. It's important that your church believes that.
Yes.
It's important that you believe that and understand why it's important. Some people talk about, you know, well, the person shouldn't be baptized until they're of age. In the old covenant, the parent spoke for the child. In our culture, the parent speaks for the child. Legal guardian. God said in Genesis, have the male circumcised on the eighth day. That child did not have a decision whether they were going to say, I want to be in the covenant of God and choose life, or I don't want to be in the covenant of God and choose death. That is essentially what you're saying if you do not represent your child in the faith. Is your faith important enough that you believe that you are risen to Christ from death into life? Mm-hmm. If you don't believe that, what are you handing on to your children? It's that critical. Mm-hmm. And I think we've lost that. People have lost that in our culture.
And listen carefully to some of these teachers on TV and listen to what they're saying and see if it jives with what the scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Hank Hanegraaff says, you should be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms, you recognize it immediately.
Exactly.
Whew.
Exactly.
It's already over. I still got a bunch of notes.
Next week.
Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day and Jesus is risen.
And we pray that the grace of God's Spirit would enlighten you to his truth, to his wisdom, and to his knowledge in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.